the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown are with us to talk about all things stateside. And it's all building up to that big meeting on Friday in Alaska between President Donald Trump and the Russian President Vladimir Putin. Cal, the art of the deal is Donald Trump's big thing. He is the master negotiator, the master dealer. He's going to get himself, he's going to be coming off second best from this, isn't he?
Well, welcome back to the show, Ian. It's nice to have you. I'm not very optimistic about this. I mean, look, this is not Munich with Neville Chamberlain going to Munich and giving Hitler the Sudetenland and coming home and declaring peace in our time. Maybe you can analogize it to Reykjavik, where Gorbachev and Reagan met, and Reagan walked out on him because he wouldn't give up his so-called Star Wars missile defense system, and it resulted in a pretty good thing. I'm not sure that Trump will walk out on this. I think he wants to have something. But Putin is a trained KGB negotiator. I mean, I think he's going to pick Trump's pocket if he does anything. Zelensky has said he's not giving up any land. Trump said at a news conference yesterday at the White House that there's going to be some land swaps. Well, I just see this as a non-negotiable wall that neither one of them are going to breach. So I really don't know what the point is. Even if Putin agrees to a temporary ceasefire, you can't rely on his word.
Before I bring you in, Marion, let's have a listen to Donald Trump, because he was talking about that future summit coming up, and he was talking about it almost as if it was some sort of property deal that he was being involved in. Let's have a listen to it.
But it's very complex because you have lines that are very uneven, and there'll be some swapping, there'll be some changes in land, and the word that they will use is, they make changes. We're going to change the lines, the battle lines. Russia's occupied a big portion of Ukraine. They've occupied some very prime territory. We're going to try and get some of that territory back for Ukraine. But they've taken some very prime territory. They've taken largely ocean. You know, in real estate, we call it oceanfront property. That's always the most valuable property. If you're in a lake, a river, or an ocean, it's always the best property. Well, Ukraine, a lot of people don't know that Ukraine was largely 1,000 miles of ocean. That's gone. Other than one small area, Odessa, it's a small area. There's just a little bit of water left. So I'm going to go and see the parameters. Now, I may leave and say good luck. And that'll be the end. I may say this is not going to be settled. I mean, there are...
Marion, ocean front property, prime real estate, some changes. This is ridiculous because we're talking about a war zone.
Yeah, and you know, I'm reminded of when he spoke about the Gaza Strip in similar terms, about how it could be turned into oceanfront property, that indeed he could, you know, he seemed to see it as a potential site for a whole bunch of new Trump hotels. But leaving that alone, it's, you know, this just reveals the depth of his ignorance, but also his biddability in this. And, you know, the European leaders and Zelensky are, you can tell, their concern is just ratcheting up at the moment ahead of Friday, with very good reason. They're seeking a meeting with Trump, a virtual meeting tomorrow, so that before he goes into this meeting, they will at least have attempted to reset. Now, one of the things that Trump did say yesterday, which shows that he's reverted back to, and you probably remember when he spoke about Zelensky and blamed him for starting the war and said it was Zelensky's starter. Well, once again yesterday, he said he disagreed with what Zelensky had done very, very strongly, and there was no need for this war to have started. He seems to have it back in his head that Zelensky is the aggressor, not Putin. Now, that is a really dangerous way to go into this conversation. And, you know, why is it even happening in Alaska? The most obvious reason to me is that Putin, there's an indictment. He's an indicted war criminal. If anything happened, he couldn't land in any other country with safety, without fear of being arrested. So, I mean, the fact that Trump is bigging this up, and J.D. Vance, or Action Like America, has this big coup of meeting up in Alaska with an indicted war criminal who has has invaded another country, who represents an existential threat to Ukraine and to Europe. And Trump is acting like this is some big achievement, this meeting. So I'm really concerned that Putin will do, as Carl said, that he'll just weave a web around Trump, that he'll completely bedazzle him. But already that Trump is indicating that, you know, land is going to be changing hands and lines will be redrawn. I would say, if, you know, can let Trump imagine if China were to invade New York and Florida and a third state came in and said, you know what, just keep what you've got already, because that's pretty well what he's doing. And the fact that he is not even allowing Zelensky to be present, that he is setting himself up as the arbiter, the person who will decide what Russia gets and what Ukraine loses. And last thing, this land, it's not just land and empty fields. These are cities with people. We're talking about the futures and lives of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians who want no part of Russia. So I think we need to be really concerned for all those reasons.
Cal, is the only hope of some sort of just settlement or peace agreement that Donald Trump wants to be seen as the ultimate peacemaker around the world, to cement his place in history, to get that Nobel Prize? Is his own ego the only thing that we have to hope for?
Well, I think there's several things, Ian. First of all, I think one of the major reasons that Putin is meeting with Trump is because of Trump's threat to put sanctions on nations like India and others who would be buying oil and have been buying oil from Russia. So that's one reason. Another reason is to try to improve his image, however shortly, in the world, that he's willing to talk to people. But yeah, I think the Nobel Prize thing is part of it. I mean, I give credit to Trump for these recent five agreements ending conflicts, Rwanda and Congo, Azerbaijan yesterday or day before. And all of those are fine, but this is the big kahuna. This one and what is happening in Gaza, of course, are the big ones. If he can do something like this, brings not only a ceasefire, but a settlement, which I don't believe is going to happen, given Putin's history and what he said. He just doesn't want to stop with Ukraine. He's already said he wants to retake Estonia and Latvia and some of these other former social republics. I think we should take him at his word. I just wish there was some way, while he's in Alaska, he could be spirited off to some other country where he's under indictment, and we could get rid of him.
Marion, I suppose one thing you could say is Donald Trump has that massive ego. He doesn't want to be upstage. He is a volatile character. He's already said he believes Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, may be tapping him along or leading him along. Can we take it from, I suppose, his character, that he won't want to be seen as a soft touch, and perhaps he might show a bit of steel here in the negotiations, or he might walk out and blow it all up and say, well, I'm going to back Zelensky to hell to win this war?
I really don't see that happening, Ian. And I mean, none of us has a crystal ball here, but I think we have seen, the only thing we can do is look at the record. We have seen the way Trump has kowtowed to Putin in the past. We saw him at that meeting in Helsinki when he sided with Trump, with Putin, I beg your pardon, over his own intelligence people, when he said, well, I believe Putin about the Russian interference in the American elections. And Russia did, and despite what Pam Bondi is saying now, and all this ridiculous rewriting of history, it was a fact that Russia did try to manipulate the US elections to favour Donald Trump. And we saw him, as I say, bobbing along beside Putin and really kowtowing to him. Trump is a coward, like all bullies, but he's intimidated by strong men like Putin. He wants to be like them. And I think that Putin is a far more skillful person than Trump, a far more skillful, I would wager, negotiator. But also, I just want to mention one thing that seems to me that nobody is mentioning. Back in 1994, an article called the Budapest Memorandum was signed. Sorry about that. And that said that in exchange for Ukraine giving up all of its nuclear arsenal, it was signed by the United Kingdom, the US and Russia, that the signatories would respect Ukraine's independence, sovereignty and existing borders, and that if anyone were to attack Ukraine, they would defend Ukraine. So, you know, the US already has an agreement with Ukraine that it will defend it from attack. Now, the attack came from one of the signatories of this deal, but Trump is actually bound. You know, certainly he doesn't seem to be morally bound, but there is an agreement in place that the US will defend Ukraine, and he just seems to have totally forgotten about that.
Let's move on, because the other big news stateside this week was from Donald Trump's announcement, Cal, that 800 members of the National Guard will be on the streets or in the vicinity of Washington, D.C. to remove homeless people, to crack down on crime, even though the statistics statistics which show that crime in DC, a lovely city which I've visited in the past and found it very nice, is actually coming down.
Well, a DC police commander is under investigation, Ian, for allegedly making changes to crime statistics in his district. The police union claims that supervisors in the department manipulate crime data to make it appear violent crime has fallen considerably compared to last year. Yeah, it's down a little bit, but it's not down from a high. I say we because I was born in Washington, D.C. I'm here at the moment, and I've spent most of my professional life here. There are places in the city I would not walk in daytime, I can tell you that. But we have the fourth highest homicide rate in the country, nearly six times higher than New York City and higher than Atlanta, Chicago, and even Compton, California. Now, I think this is going to be a temporary reprieve. It's only going to be for about 30 days. The problem is, though, when it's removed, we're going to revert back to the same thing again, because it's not about law enforcement. It's not about the National Guard. It's about broken homes. It's about failing public
schools. And you don't solve that by putting heavily armed members of the National Guard with rifles and older fatigues on the streets. You solve that by having more police visible and having social services to help people who are on the streets and have mental health difficulties.
We've had social services for years. Millions and millions of dollars have been spent. Bill Clinton instituted midnight basketball, thinking that if you could get minority students off the streets playing basketball at midnight, they wouldn't be out shooting people. All of these things have been tried before. Money spent, programs, $11 trillion by one estimate spent on welfare in this country, and none of it works. You got to get back to the family, the father in the home, a certain amount of religious foundation, perhaps, and teaching people to respect life and other people's property and school choice. I mean, we've got kids who can't keep up with reading and mathematics and science at grade level, dropping out and never having hope for a job. These are where the real solutions lie, but they're not being addressed.
Marion, what's the real agenda here?
Well, I think the real agenda here, and I agree with a lot of what Cal just said, I think that the lack of opportunity and the poverty in DC and the institutionalized poverty where these kids never get a break and they never get a chance at a decent education is a big part of all of this. But the real agenda here is Trump is saying, he's saying to America, this is his big authoritarian flex. It's like, I can do this. I can go into democratic cities and I can kick their asses. He tried to do it in Los Angeles, and he's trying to do it now in Washington, D.C. And he's been itching to do this ever since the George Floyd protests, when he wanted, I believe it was the then Defense Secretary, Mark Esper, his name was, he said, why can't you just shoot protesters in the legs? And he wants to, basically, Trump is a thug. He wants to give people a good kicking. That's his response. And he wants to, you know, and it's exactly true what Cal said, putting another 200, I believe it is, out of the 800 National Guards on the streets, flooding the zone with FBI and whoever the hell else, it's not actually going to make any difference. Pam Bondi said the most ludicrous thing at that press conference. She said, crime in DC ends today. Well, I suspect very strongly that since she has spoken, there has been more than two crimes.
Marion, exactly. Marion, is he also trying to fiddle the economic statistics by replacing the head of the Labour Bureau?
Yeah, and all these things are distractions. So when Trump does something like this DC stunt, you have to ask, what does he want us to look away from? And indeed, this new head of the
Bureau of Labor Statistics.
I'm getting all my words backwards today. Sorry. He's regarded as a joke. This is a person who was part of the Heritage Foundation, the authors of Project 2025, who basically did his audition for this job with a ridiculous text last week about the statistics. He's somebody who even the American Enterprise Institute, which Cal knows and I knows, as a, you know, a right-wing but very logical, decent institute, they have said that he is a sham and he's totally unfit for the job and he's a shameless partisan. So Trump is getting his guy in. He's getting somebody in who he thinks can massage the figures. But it's going to take more than that, because these figures are done by hundreds and hundreds of civil servants. But what can happen is people can get pushed out, they can get demoralized, and then they can get replaced with willing stooges.
Carol, something I think we could all agree on is that the United States needs to stop more killings in schools and on college campuses, and that's something you're writing in your column today.
Well, it is, and many children are going back to school this week in the United States. And many of them will have upgraded security from identification badges to doors that can only be accessed through special passes or electronically. Even in some cases where they can afford it, police officers around or inside the school. We even have police officers now at a lot of our churches, which I just think is a terrible indictment of this country. I wrote today in my column that a Secret Service analysis of nearly 40 years of school violence found that roughly three quarters of school shooters' guns came from the home of a parent or close relative, and an estimated blows me away, you should pardon the pun, an estimated 4.6 million American children live in households with at least one loaded and unlocked firearm. This is according to a report published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So, I'm all for this prosecuting of parents who have a record of irresponsible use of firearms and including keeping them unloaded and locked up, so kids, especially kids with mental problems, can't get hold of them.
Marion, just one final topic for you, and briefly. Are we getting another example of Trump always chickening out because the tariffs on China are getting another extension?
This is really, Trump has become, like, he's basically China's facilitator at this stage. He has abandoned any attempt to bring them to control, behaviours that he was really furious about previously. Another 90 days, that brings us up to, I think, around November 10th. None of these tariffs that he had threatened on China are going to happen. This is good. It's a good thing that Trump is chickening out on this. He had threatened tariffs as high as 245% and retaliatory, it would have sent everything crazy. But I'm also really surprised and concerned about this. The NVIDIA chip makers and AMD, who have agreed to basically pay the US government
a 15% tax
on their revenue.
15% cut, not bad. Mary McKeown and Cal Thomas, thank you for joining us as always. And of course, we will hopefully have more details of that summit later on this week.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.